I'll read two passages, and then I want to bring many more to your attention. But listen to these concerning our Savior and a question he asks about his power. Matthew 9, verse 27. And as Jesus passed by from thence, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Have mercy on us, thou son of David. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? They say unto him, Yes, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it done unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus strictly charged them, saying, See that no man know it, and so forth. And now chapter 17. And here is the man with the demon-possessed son, and it says in verse 15, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is epileptic, and suffereth grievously. For oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft times into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon went out of him, and the boy was cured from that hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast it out? But he saith unto them, Because of your little faith. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. But this kind goeth not out save by prayer and fasting. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, thou dost know that our souls are thrilled when we read any part of the Word of God. Thou dost know that we've rejoiced as we've read of Abel, and we've read of Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and David. And our Father, most of all, our hearts rejoice as we read about your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember that song, more about Jesus. And that is what we desire this day, to know more about him, concerning his person, his work, his power. And by thy Spirit, enable us to be a blessing to the hearts of those who are here this morning. And may they learn more about your Son. We pray, our Father, that you shall forgive our sins. We confess them. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, as you have promised. And glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. In John chapter 6, our Savior looks, and a multitude is coming. 5,000. And he turns to Philip and he says, Where are we going to buy food that all these might be fed? But when he asked that question, I'm so glad that the Spirit of God tells us, he did not ask it for information. He did it to put Philip to the test. It said he knew what he was going to do. Now, there are some questions our Lord asks, and he wants information. There are other questions our Lord asks, not for himself, but for his listeners. And the questions I'm telling you about this month are questions our Lord asked to which he knew the answer already. He simply asked these questions that those whom he asked might learn more about him. And the passage that I read to you this morning is a unique passage, because when blind men came to the Lord Jesus on occasion, he would ask this, "What do you want me to do for you?" It seemed evident they were blind, but he said, "What do you want?" And they said, "Lord, that our eyes may be open." But in this instance, here are two blind men that come to the Lord Jesus, and he does not ask them what they want, because he knows what they want, but he asks this question, "Do you believe that I am able to open your blind eyes? Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they both said, "Yes, Lord." And then he proceeded. It's a remarkable thing that when it comes to the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, some believed in his power and some did not believe in his power. Some believed a little bit in his power and some believed completely in his power. And without being asked, some came and told him about his power. Listen to the leper. A leper approaches our Savior and he says this, "Lord, if you will, you can make me whole." The leper, without being questioned by the Lord Jesus, had come to the conclusion that even in his vileness, in his hopelessness, the Lord Jesus could make him clean. He said, "If you will." So he knew about the power of the Lord Jesus, but he did not know about the will of the Lord Jesus. But there was no doubt in this leper's mind. And when the woman with the issue of blood, being afraid to make known her malady, she said within herself, "If I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." Isn't that remarkable? So much faith and confidence in the power of Jesus that he did not have to touch her, but if she could touch the hem of his garment, she would be made whole. And another one, I think, of that had great faith in the power of the Lord Jesus was the centurion. He said, "My servant is sick. He's nigh unto death." He said, "But if you speak the word, he shall be made whole. And I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but I understand about things. I am a soldier, and there are those that are under me, and there are those that are over me. And the commands that I give are carried out, and I carry out their commands." He said, "Now, you speak the word, and my servant shall be made whole." Isn't this remarkable? That some people are aware of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and some of these are people that you would never expect to believe in that power. Because when the Savior heard what the centurion said, he said, "I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Now, let us contrast what the centurion said with what Zacharias, the priest of God, that great man that had been praying, beseeching the Lord for a child with Elizabeth, his wife, and this prayer had been going on and on, but now he was an old man and his wife was an old woman. And God sent Gabriel to tell him that he was going to have a child. And he said, How can this be? He said, I'm an old man, and my wife is an old woman. And Gabriel became indignant, and he said, because you have not believed the word that I have spoken, you shall be silent until the day that it come to pass, because no power of God, no word of God shall be void of power. Now, would you not think that a man of the spiritual character and stature of Zacharias would have been one who knew, who would have said immediately, yes, I'm going to have a son. I've been praying, and now Gabriel has been sent to me, and I believe completely. But he did not believe. And so in the lives of those who met the Lord Jesus Christ, the remarkable thing was this, that some had great faith in his power, and some had little faith in his power, and some were of such a disposition that they rendered the all-powerful Savior powerless. When he came back to where he had been brought up and spoke and did the things that he did, they said, we know this man. We know his mother. We know his brothers and sisters. Where does he get all of this authority to do these things? And they were indignant. And it said Jesus was not able to do many mighty works there because of their disposition toward him. So here is Jesus, and the only time we see him without power to do things is when people did not believe in him, did not accept him for who he was, would not acknowledge that he had come out from heaven into the world to do the will of God. And it said, he did not many mighty miracles there. So what the Lord Jesus wants is for all of those who follow him and all of those whom he blessed, they want him to know the extent of his power, just what he could do. And this is the example that I read to you from Matthew chapter 9. Here are men with blind eyes, and think of the question, the greatness of the question that he asked them for this reason. In John 9, he has healed another blind man, and the blind man made this observation. He said, since the world began, nobody has ever opened the eyes of the blind. He opened my eyes. He cannot be a bad man. And so here are two blind men, and they are wanting the Savior to open their eyes, and the eyes of the blind, since the world began, have never been opened by any man. And they want the Lord Jesus to do it. And he asked them this question, do you believe that I am able to do it? And they said, yes, Lord. Now, a critical time arises for this reason. He does not say, you're right, I can do it. He said, but I've heard what you've said. You've told me that I'm able to do this. He said, we're going to put it to the test now. He said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. And so they stood there waiting. And it was not whether the Savior had power, but whether they had faith to believe that he had that power. And it says, he touched their eyes, and their eyes were open. Now, that is thrilling for this reason. Immediately, their faith was put to the test and proven to be living faith. Faith that believed in the power of the Lord Jesus to open the eyes of the blind, and they had never been opened since the world began. And the Savior said, we'll see if you're telling me the truth. Because not everyone who speaks to the Lord always speaks the truth. and not always says the thing that is true concerning themselves. Think of Peter. When our Savior said, all of you shall be offended in me this night, Peter said, everybody else may be offended. He said, but I am not going to be offended. I have such faith and devotion to you that I'm ready to go to prison and to die for you. Now, the two blind men said, yes, we have faith. You can open our eyes. And Peter said, I have strength to be faithful unto you to the point of death. And the Lord Jesus knew that this was false. He said, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And so what Peter boasted about his great faith and devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus did not believe him. Suppose he had said, well, we'll test this immediately. But presently it was tested. And what Peter had spoken openly and boastfully, that he would never deny the Lord Jesus Christ, what he said was proved to be false. But concerning these blind men, the Savior said, you say that you believe that I am able to heal you? He said, we'll see. We'll see if you have that kind of faith. And he touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes were opened. Isn't this sad? Here is an apostle, and he speaks concerning his faith, his devotion, and it's false. But here are two blind men, and they speak concerning Christ's power and ability, and they are true, and they are willing to be put to the test. Now, I wish that all men and women who confess faith in Christ could have that immediate test for this reason. You realize that in the coming day, some are going to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, Lord. They're saying the right thing. But he's going to say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And so some call him Lord, Lord in this life. But when they stand before him in judgment, the truth as to whether they really acknowledged him and accepted him and served him as Lord is going to be revealed at that time. And they are going to be found false. That they are calling him Lord, Lord all through their lifetime. They're working. They're manifesting powers. And yet the Lord says in that coming day, I never knew you. Depart from me. And so here is a test. And I could wish that that test were so today. When someone says, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And the answer is, yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus. I wish that you and I could touch them. And in some way, if they had genuinely trusted Christ as Savior, as our Savior was glorified on the mount, some transformation would take place. And we could say, yes, but you never know for this reason. On an occasion, a rich young ruler came to the Lord Jesus, and he seemed so promising. And the Lord Jesus, while talking to him, looked upon him, and it says the Lord Jesus loved him. But he asked him one question. I want you to go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. And when the Savior put that test to him, he failed it, and his countenance fell, and he went away sorrowing because he had great possessions. Now, if the Lord, when sinners confess faith in him, were immediately to reveal to them whether they were saved or lost, that would be a good thing. But that is not what he does. The sad thing is this, is that he lets our lives be lived, and then it is determined whether we have living faith or if we have a faith that is empty, like the faith of the demons. The demons believe and they tremble. But what happens is this, that concerning our Savior, only in the case of physical material abilities, or they manifested immediately. But thank God for this. The estimate that these two blind men had of the Lord Jesus Christ was correct, and even though no man had ever opened the eyes of the blind before, they said, "You are able to do it." And so their faith in Christ and His power was complete. Now think, here are some that believe in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and their faith in that power is valid, and it's placed in the right person, and therefore what they want to have done is done, and they are healed. And what is so thrilling is this, that what these blind men learned, the leper learned, he said, "Because if you will, you can make me whole." And the Lord healed him. And the woman with the issue of blood said, "If I touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." And she touched it, and she was made whole. However, there are some believe that Jesus can do some things, that he has a degree of power, but he does not have all power. Think of this now. Here, in John chapter 11, our Savior had a letter sent to him, a message, "Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick." And our Savior stayed away 4 days, and when he comes, Lazarus is dead. And when the Lord Jesus comes to the tomb and he weeps, the people around Lazarus say, "Behold how he loved him. Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have prevented Lazarus from dying?" And so they wondered. They thought at least of it, that he had enough power to keep Lazarus from dying. Now, this is a strange thing. And also, others who saw the Lord Jesus and his works, they thought he could do some things, but they were not sure he could do all things. Think of Jairus' daughter. Jairus' appeal to the Lord Jesus Christ to come and save his daughter. And the Lord Jesus, after an encounter with Legion and with that woman with the issue of blood, finally comes to Jairus' house. And as he's approaching the house, servants come out and say, "Trouble the master no more. Your daughter is dead." Do you see what they're saying? Now, had he come sooner, he could have prevented her from dying. But now that she's dead, there is nothing more that he can do. And so there are some that believe Jesus is competent to heal sick people, but when it comes to raising dead people, they say, "Do not trouble him at all. It would be embarrassing for him to come and try to heal her and she's dead." But the Lord Jesus disregarded everything that they said. And he said to the parents, "Fear not, only believe." And that's a message to us today. In the face of all that seems to contradict the confidence that we have in our Savior, the Savior does not tell us to try to figure it out intellectually or scientifically. They said, "We know she's dead." They laughed him to scorn. But he said, "Fear not, only believe." And I tell you the truth. The scientists are telling me that this universe is 12 billion years old and that Adam was not the first man. They tell me all of these things, and I'm not capable to answer those questions. But I'm capable to believe my Savior when he said, "In the beginning God created the male and female." I'm able to believe that. And I'm able to believe that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him. I'm able to believe and accept that our Savior is the Creator of all things seen and unseen. And I leave it for God to put all of these things together. But there are some who look at sickness and say, yes, he can do this much, but when it comes to death, he's not able to do anything. But the very fact that the Lord Jesus is able to do something, even in death as well as in life, is the question that he asked Martha. Martha had said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. And the Lord Jesus said, your brother shall rise again. She said, I know, Lord, he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he said, do you believe this? And then she said, not fully comprehending what he was saying, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God that comes into the world. And so, immediately, the Lord proved that he was the resurrection and the life. He asked her, do you believe that I'm able to raise from the dead? Not wait until the resurrection at the last day, but I am the resurrection and the life. Death does my bidding. Diseases hearken unto the commands I give. Now, do you believe this? And the question that he asked her, and she said, yes. I wonder if she fully believed it, because the Savior said, take away the stone. And she said, Lord, don't take away the stone. The odor would be terrible. He's been dead 4 days. And the Lord said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And then she allowed the stone to be removed. And the Lord Jesus simply said, Lazarus, come forth. And then he manifested that he had not only power over diseases, but he had power over death as well. And so let's think. When the Lord Jesus asked the blind man, do you believe that I'm able to open your eyes? It seemed like a great thing. And when the leper wanted to be healed, it seemed like a great thing. But healing the sick in comparison to raising the dead, why, there is no comparison. And yet the Lord Jesus found one as easy as the other. And so he wants you and me to understand this, that whatever challenge is put to him in this life by any child of God, he is sufficient to meet that challenge. Now, if you say, well, is he able to open the eyes of the blind today, and is he able to cleanse lepers? Yes, he is able to do it today. That he has not done it and does not do it does not mean that he cannot do it and that he did not do it. But I can promise you this, that all things that have caused us pain and suffering and have caused death, as the Lord Jesus was able to deal with those things when he was personally on earth, in the coming day, he is able to deal with all of those things that will concern us when we get to heaven. It says, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we wait for a Savior, who shall change our vile bodies and conform them to his glorious body. He's going to do that when he comes. And so the only thing I can tell you is that from his life on earth, whatever challenge was put to him, he was sufficient to meet that challenge. Now, man fails. Think of his apostles. He has Peter, James, and John with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now you have the rest. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew. You have all of these apostles in the valley, and the Father brings this demon-possessed son to them, and he says, cast him out. And the apostles were powerless. Isn't that sad? For this reason, the weakness in your life and mine casts a reflection upon the ability of the Lord Jesus Christ. For this reason, when the Savior comes down from the mountain, the Father says, I brought my son to your disciples to cast them out, and they were not able. And he says to the Savior, he says, but if you can do anything, he said, have compassion on us and help us. Isn't that sad? That the failure of the apostles caused that question to be asked. I don't know if you can do anything. You may be able to. If you can help us, have compassion and help us. Now, I'm thinking of the life that you live. It says, he is able to deliver us. Sin shall not have dominion over us, for we are not under law, but under grace. Is the Lord Jesus able to deliver us at least spiritually in this life to keep us from sin? And if you say yes, and then men look upon your life and they see your failures and your shortcomings, then they look at Jesus and they say, well, you didn't do much for him, but if you can do something for me, help me. Isn't that a sad thing? The life that you are living, does it cause the world to say, Jesus has done it for him and he can do it for me? Or does it cause them to say, well, they are a failure. They were not able to help me. But if you are able, this is the sad thing, that our lives are to be testimonies to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Power now to deliver from sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. And at least in this spiritual realm, yes, I want to manifest to the world that our Savior has the sufficiency to keep us from sin, to enable us to walk with God, to glorify God. That is what he would have us to understand. But there was another challenge to the Lord Jesus, because I've told you about the physical things that he could do. He can heal diseases. Yes. He can raise from the dead. Yes. But when this man who was paralyzed was let down through the roof by four friends that he had, the Lord Jesus looked upon him and he said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And so now he's not talking about a physical thing, but he's talking about a spiritual thing. He is talking not about dunamis, power, but exousia, authority. They are both translated power. And so the Savior has power in the physical realm, but now, when he states that he has power in the spiritual realm, all of those sitting around become indignant and they say, he is blaspheming. Only God can forgive sins. And now, just as the Lord Jesus demonstrated the faith or lack of faith by touching the eyes of those blind ones, the Lord said, why, which is easier? To say your sins are forgiven, or to say take up your bed and walk? He said, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power, authority on earth to forgive sins, he says unto the sick of the palsy, he says, take up your bed and walk. And he took it up and walked out in the presence of them all. Here our Savior confirmed that in the spiritual realm, by this physical miracle, that he had power also to forgive sins. And that is thrilling. Because when he said, your sins are forgiven, how would that paralytic know it? He would know if he were healed of his physical infirmities, but how would he know that his sins were forgiven? By the same reason that he who had power to forgive physically based his ability to forgive spiritually upon the success of his healing that paralysis. And his friends were filled with consternation, his enemies, and they went out with madness and they wanted to destroy him. Now think of this. Here is the Lord Jesus, and he wants you to know how much power he has physically, and he wants you to know how much power he has spiritually, and he wants you to know that in the realm of evil spirits he has power, and he was able to cast the demons out of Legion, and it says no man was able to bind him. They had put fetters and chains upon him, and he had broken them. But the Lord Jesus spoke the word, and those demons came out of him. And so think, there was no physical disease ever brought to the Lord Jesus that he could not heal. There was no sin that had been committed that the Lord Jesus forgave that was not forgiven. and there was no demon or satanic power that could oppose the spoken word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, when our Savior says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth," then we can say with Job. Job had doubted, had challenged God, but then at the last Job said, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of thine can be restrained." And that's what God wants us to know about the Lord Jesus Christ, that all power in every realm is given unto him, and he wants us to call upon him and to draw upon that power as much as we are able in this age, knowing in faith that when he comes back from heaven to take us there to be with himself, that power will not be manifested in every area. The Lord Jesus is all powerful. All power is given unto him. Now time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that we ask the same questions that the neighbors of the Lord Jesus asked. Where did this man get this power? How is he able to do these things? But our God, we know where that power came from. You've told us the power of the Lord was with him to heal. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We know where that power came from. And our God, as he has forgiven us our sins, and it's been demonstrated, and we thank you for that, we know, our God, that in the coming day, the Lord Jesus will do the other things that he's promised. He's able to raise us from the dead. He's able to change us without dying, catch us up to be forever with him, our Father. All power is his. And so he asked that question, "Do you believe I am able to do this?" Let us, our Father, have the faith of the leper and the centurion and these blind men, and of all of those, the faith of Job, who says, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of thine can be restrained." Let us have that faith in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. The meeting is over.